Good morning. My name is Don Tisdale. I'm a lay servant at Wesley United Methodist Church here in Austin, Texas. And on behalf of Wesley Church and our pastor, Sylvester E. Chase Jr., I bring you greetings and wish you peace. I'm going to talk to you a little bit this morning about false prophets. But before I get into that in particular, I've got a little story that I want to share with you. And some of you will be familiar with this, and some of you may not be as familiar, but I'm going to share it with you anyway. This story is about something that happened in New York City, and it happened in 1969. And this was back in June of 1969 at a bar called Smallwood. And some of you might have heard of that. And what has happened, or what was had been happening, is because Smallwood had a particular clientele, the oppressors, that's the way I will refer to them, decided that they would harass those people, and what they would do is have the police come in and pull raids in that bar. And the reason for the raids, supposedly, were to make sure liquor laws were being obeyed. Well, in June, toward the end of June, I believe it actually began the night of June 27th and led into the 28th, early in the morning, the officers came out to that bar and led a raid as they had been doing. But this time was a little bit different. The people at the bar decided they had had enough, and they decided to fight back. The riots subsequent to that went on for at least 3 days and became known as the Smallwood Riots. Now, the oppressors thought that they could do whatever they wanted to do because they had decided that the clientele in that bar, for whatever reason, didn't deserve respect under the law. They even went so far as to raise a false prophet. Their false prophet was named Anita Bryant, and she went around the country saying the types of things that false prophets say. But that didn't work either. And now, in the month of June, every year, not just in New York City and San Francisco and cities here in this country, but all around the world, the month of June is celebrated and the Smallwood Riot is celebrated as a time, a commemoration of that freedom, that day, that night, those nights, and the results that happened. And the downfall of their false prophet. False prophets rise for all sorts of reasons. And generally speaking, false prophets say things and they have a motive. We had a false prophet here in Texas that was on TV recently, and what he said was he thought that we should be willing to sacrifice a few lives for his false god, the economy. He thought we should actually do that. He said it was worth sacrificing a few lives for. Well, there have been some other civilizations that thought that sacrificing human lives might work. They did it to make their crops better. They did it to try to bring the rain. They did it to try to vanquish enemies, to stop a plague. None of those civilizations are in existence today. False prophets. The true prophet Isaiah has something to say about false prophets and their false god. And if you'll turn with me to the 41st chapter of the book of Isaiah, I'm going to read you a little something that he had to say about We're going to start at the 21st verse of the 41st chapter of Isaiah. And here's the way it reads. I'm going to read through verse 24 and then one more verse to sum it up in verse 29. It says, "Present your case, says the Lord. Set forth your arguments, says Jacob's king. Bring in your idols to tell us what is going to happen. Tell us what the former things were, so that we may consider them and know their final outcome. Or declare to us things to come. Tell us what the future holds, so we may know that they are God's. Do something, whether good or bad, so that we will be dismayed and filled with fear. But you are less than nothing, and your works are utterly worthless. He who chooses you is detestable." And he sums it up in verse 29, and it says this, "See, they are all false. Their deeds amount to nothing. Their images are but wind and confusion." The true prophet Isaiah, talking about false prophets and their false gods. Now today, in this country, we have a false prophet. This false prophet, for lack of, there's no other way to describe him, he's just told so many lies. And he continues to lie to us. I'm not going to go back to the beginning, but I'm going to start with some things that he has said recently. I'm going to go back about 6 months when the coronavirus first began to show itself. This false prophet said, "Oh, it's not a problem. We have everything under control here. We're going to be okay. It's not really going to affect us." And then a little bit later, he said, "Well, by April, this whole thing will be gone. It's not going to bother us. We're going to do just fine. Don't worry about it." But a couple of months later, as the number of cases here began to skyrocket and deaths began to follow, he still told the same lie. He said, "Don't worry about it. It's going to go away. It's going to warmer months. It's going to go away. We have it all under control." Well, now we're in a situation where it's not under control. It hasn't been since it first struck our shores. And the false prophet is still saying the same thing. He's telling the same lies, that we're going to be all right. Don't worry about it. It's not going to affect us so much. It's going to go away. The true prophet Jeremiah ran into a similar situation where false prophets were telling lies to the people and telling them that everything was going to be okay, but he knew it wasn't. In Jeremiah, in the 7th chapter of, I'm sorry, the 14th chapter of Jeremiah, we see him addressing that, and he gets an answer from the Lord concerning that. And I'm looking at 14th chapter of Jeremiah, the 13th and 14th verses. And here's what it says. "But I said, Our sovereign Lord, the prophets keep telling them, you will not see the sword or suffer famine. Indeed, I will give you lasting peace in this place. Then the Lord said to me, the prophets are prophesying lies in my name. I have not sent them or appointed them or spoken to them. They are prophesying to you false visions, divinations, idolatries, and the delusions of their own mind." The delusions of their own mind. The false prophet we have now has become delusional, just as Jeremiah was told by the Lord. He has some ideas that when you listen to him, you know they make no sense. Even our Lord Jesus talked about false prophets. He taught his disciples about false prophets. In the 7th chapter of the book of Matthew, when he's talking to his disciples, teaching them about things that are to come, here is what our Lord said. And this is the 7th chapter of the book of Matthew. I'm going to read to you verses 15, 16, and 18. Verse 15, this is Jesus talking. He said, "Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles?" And in verse 18, he sums it up. He says, "A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit." Now, what is he talking about there? What has been the fruit that has been borne by the false prophet and his followers? What has happened? If you look at this country today, your country is so divided. Probably the only other time in history that it has been this divided was during the Civil War. His false prophets down in Florida and Georgia and other places continue to echo the same things that the main false prophet has to say. And what has happened? What have we seen happen? We see the divisiveness. We see violence all over the country. We see the false prophet virtually supporting that violence, like he did in Charlottesville, like he did in Portland when he sent in troops to start shooting tear gas into the midst of peaceful demonstrators. Violence all over the country, from Charlottesville to Portland and from Minneapolis to Miami, he has supported the violence and has never condemned it. So we see violence all over the country. And along with that, we see the law being paralyzed. Let me give you an example of the law being paralyzed. And I'm going to go back a few years to 1978. There was a person on the city government in San Francisco named Harvey Milk. Some of you may remember him. He was killed along with the mayor of San Francisco, George Moscone, by an ex-cop named Dan White. Dan White had a particular defense for his actions. When he went to court, he said, "I was temporarily insane. And here's why I was temporarily insane." He said, "The temporary insanity was caused by me eating too many Twinkies." Too many Twinkies. You know, the little Twinkie bar. And he got off with a light sentence, relatively. It gave him 7 years. He killed two people. The law was paralyzed in that instance, and justice could not prevail. We see the same thing happening again. The law gets paralyzed and justice is not prevailing. That's why we see a policeman with his knee on the neck of a man who is laying on the ground, handcuffed, and he keeps his knee on him for 9 minutes. Will justice ever prevail there? The true prophet Habakkuk saw a similar situation. There was violence in the land. The law was being paralyzed. Justice could not prevail. And he prayed to God because it was up to him to bring the word to this people. And here is God's answer to him. And I'm looking at the first chapter of the book of Habakkuk, verse 5. Habakkuk 1, verse 5. And this is the Lord's answer to Habakkuk. He said, "Look at the nations and watch and be utterly amazed, for I'm going to do something in your days that you would not believe even if you were told." I'm going to do something in your day that you would not believe even if you were told. Now, why is that important to us today? Think about it for a minute. 6 months ago, would you have imagined that this nation would have been brought to its knees? 6 months ago, would you have imagined that the injustice that we saw in Minneapolis would spark demonstrations all around the world? 6 months ago, would you have imagined that the false prophet who keeps saying that we're all right, don't worry, everything's going to be good, and that children are virtually immune to this pandemic? 6 months ago, and this is some more fruit from the bad tree. 6 months ago, would you have ever imagined that in Georgia, thousands of students and teachers and staffers would now be quarantined because they followed what the false prophet told them about going back to school, that it was going to be okay? The Lord said, "I'm going to do something in your day that you wouldn't believe even if I told you." So what happens now? Where does that leave us as Christians, those of us that want to follow the Lord? What does that do for us? Do we know what the fight is? I think the best thing we can do for ourselves is to at least be aware of what is going on. There's nothing new under the sun. If you want to understand the fight and where it is, Ephesians 6 will tell you. We don't have time to go into that right now, and I haven't even begun to mention what Ezekiel said about building that flimsy wall. The false prophet and his followers think that none of us can figure this out. But if we look at the prophecies and what is written in the Bible, we find it's been addressed several times. The true prophet Isaiah, the true prophet Jeremiah, our Lord Jesus himself, and the true prophet Habakkuk have already addressed those things. And as Christians, I can tell you now, what we should do is also in this Bible. But that's not something we have time for today. That's for another time. Let's close with a prayer. Father in heaven, we come to you now as your servants, humbling ourselves before you and praying the prayer that your Christ has taught us, and we continue to pray it, that prayer that says, "May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." That has been, is now, and will continue to be our prayer. Amen.